Good morning, everyone. I say it all the time. I love worship. His presence, His glory, His power strengthens me, encourages me, raises and rises hope on the inside of me, you know? Because we don't need it to come down because it's already on the inside. We need it to rise up. And when I connect and when I grab hold, that stuff starts churning on the inside of me. And that's what we need, right? Hope, hope, hope. I release hope. I release hope for me. I release hope for you. I release every good thing that God has promised us. Amen. So we're so glad you're here. We're going to take up the offering. There are envelopes in the front of you if you want to give by cash or check. There's also online with our QR code up here that you can click on. And it will take you right to the Tithely link. Thank you. And so you, those of you, I didn't know this, y'all. I finally really learned how to use the QR code. But you put your little phone over the camera and the little yellow things come up. And I thought you had to take a picture of it, but you just click on it and it takes you there. It's really a smart thing to do, use. And so anyway, we're going to take up the offering. And finally, when I finally learned how to do it, it worked. So Pastor is starting today, Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time. And so he's going to be going through the parables of Jesus. And do you know that a lot of the parables that we have read a certain way don't really mean what we've been taught that they say? You are starting Once Upon a Time, right? It is August. Okay. You were looking at me, so I was like, uh-oh. But Pastor is going to expound because he has studied the Hebrew and the Greek and the words and the culture of what Jesus was really saying. How many want to know what Jesus was really saying? Not what some man interpreted 1,500 years after Jesus, what they thought. I want to know what Jesus was really saying. So it's going to be really good. Month of August, Once Upon a Time. Beat the Heat, cooling station here at the church from 11 to 4 when the heat index is over 100 degrees. How many of you enjoy waking up to 68 this morning? That's what it said. Woohoo! That was nice. That was really nice. So, Lord, just keep it there. 68's good. I saw a meme on Facebook that said, you know something's happening when Arkansans are celebrating 80 degrees as a cool breeze, as a cool, what a cool front coming in. It's been hot. And in the future, again, Monday through Thursday, 11 to 4, if the heat index is over 100, we have free Wi-Fi, free water, and a table set up with games and card games and all kind of fun things to do. All of our information is on our Facebook page, Arise Church MV, and on our website, which is arisechurch.cc. And so I'm just going to pray over the offering. Father, I just thank you. I thank you with gratitude in my heart. Oh, that you are so good to us. You are so faithful to us. And I thank you that we can come into this house and worship you in one accord, that we have freedom here to raise our hands and run around if we want to and shout and clap and dance and use flags and every way of expressing our joy. Expressing our joy. That we serve a living God, up close and personal, who loves us so. How grateful I am for a place of freedom like that. And I thank you for a place that I can sow seed of my finances into, that it can do the work of the kingdom. We want to do so many more things for you, Father, in this city, in this state, Lord. So I thank you that you bless this offering. We thank you with gratitude in our hearts that we have the opportunity to give, that we are able and you are faithful to supply all of our needs so that we are able to help supply the needs of your house. how thankful and gratefulness go hand in hand for the joy you are, for the hope that you are. I thank you for the sweet, sweet presence in this house this morning, the strength in this house this morning. I thank you that people here are grabbing hold of what you are pouring out of heaven and rising up to the identity that they are beautiful creatures created and loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Going to the nursery? Good. Have fun. Good morning. You guys all right? Anybody lose a penny? There's a penny on the pulpit. Hey, Robert. We'll do that for it. Amen. Put that penny to work. You guys good? Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And as usual, I'm going to start somewhere else. Because it's what I do. Once upon a time, huh? Man, I do love that phrase. I love fairy tales, although we're not talking about fairy tales this month. We're going to talk about the parables of Jesus. Some of them are going to be familiar. Some of them are going to be new. There's one in particular I have never, ever, ever preached on. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. But it's going to be good because it's fun to find out. Because, you know, Jesus just sat down and he talked to people. He just shared from his heart. And he shared with authority. He shared with a vast amount of knowledge, right? Of not only of their culture, but also of how he was bringing heaven's culture into their culture. That even under the empire that they all lived and were oppressed, Jesus taught them that there's a better way to even treat Romans or tax collectors or other people. Amen? You know, there's a whole lot in America. We always think it's a political win whenever we can put the Ten Commandments anywhere. And it's, you know, and the Ten Commandments are good, right? Because none of us want to be murderers or adulterers or thieves, right? And we want to honor our father and mother, and we want to honor God, right? Amen? But on a day-to-day basis, those things just really don't come up except the honoring of God. Most of the time, I need to remember, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the, you know, the Beatitudes are something that that are a day-to-day thing. And Jesus talked to people in day-to-day talk, and he explained things with things that they already understood. And when you read a parable, the entire parable isn't theology. There are some things in the parable that just don't apply to anything. It's like the one, here you go. Here's one Jesus said. He said, there was a judge who neither feared God nor man, right? And there was a woman who kept coming to him over and over and over again, pleading her case. And he finally gave her justice, not because it was right to do, but because she just didn't stop, right? So God isn't showing us to be like the judge. The judge is the wrong person in the parable, right? It doesn't apply. And God is definitely not that judge. He doesn't need us to plead and plead and plead. But God, Jesus was stressing in that moment, I want you to go to your Father continually. I mean, he taught them to pray every day. Our Father in heaven, right? Let your will be done here as it is in heaven. That's a daily prayer, right? You guys okay out there? You found Luke yet? Okay, good, because I'm in 1 John. I love this portion. It says, we proclaim to you, starting in verse chapter 1, verse 1, it says, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. Everybody say, that's Jesus. Oh, come on, you can say better than that. That's Jesus. Good gracious alive. We saw him with our own eyes, John tells us, and touched him with our own hands. Get this phrase. He is the word of life. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? John called him Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In that moment when John was writing his book, the Gospel of John, the Bible didn't exist to the way that we have it. In fact, the Hebrew Scriptures didn't exist at that time the way that we have them now. So, when the Bible talks about the Word of God, boy, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church. When the Bible talks about the Word of God, is it talking about what's on the pages or in our digital books? Or is it talking about Jesus? It's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible never says for us to worship the Bible, but many of us do. Many Christians do. Because it's what we have, right? It's what teaches us about God. Forgetting that it was written by lots of people over a lot of time who sometimes say different things about the same subject. That's kind of hard for an evangelical or a person in the Bible Belt. Let me just say it that way. That's kind of difficult for a person in the Bible Belt to go, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, you read it enough, they'll come get you. Not something bad. You will see different authors saying different things. But Jesus is the expression of God. My whole point in telling you this is we need to have a paradigm of the finished work of Christ. That when we read the Bible, we look at it through those lenses. That yes, in the Old Testament, there was lots of violence. But Jesus came along and said, you've seen it written, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you this, right? And then he said something completely different than what Moses supposedly came down off the mountain with, right? You guys with me? Okay. Now, just because I said all that doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't hold authority in our life. It does. But it's not the fourth person of the Godhead. It's for us to learn and for us to be challenged by. And when we see things that don't match up, we should go to God and say, hey, what's going on here? And let him explain it to us. And sometimes you may have to take something and just put it on a shelf and go, you're going to have to grow me some more to understand that. Amen? So, he is the Word of life. Jesus is the Word of life. The one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing to you these things that you can share our joy. Amen? Knowing Jesus is joy. And sometimes we forget that because life gets tough sometimes, right? But joy is still there even in the tough moments. We have to find it. Sometimes we have to ask God for it. Sometimes we have to remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? Because God never has a down day. He's never has an Eeyore moment for as long as he's existed. He never drags his lip. He never gets things. He never confuses what people say and go, well, I wonder if they said this and they're really trying to tell me something else. And he's not confused, right? He's not upset. He's at peace. That's hard for a human mind to fathom, isn't it? Jesus told us the purpose of parables, too. at the end of one of them, he was talking to the disciples, and the one we're going to look at this morning. But I want you to understand this point about parables, about all parables, okay? Because the disciples ask him in Luke 8, in verse 9, he says, what does this parable mean? And don't worry, we're fixing to talk about that parable. Jesus said to him, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables, so that looking they may perceive and listening they may not understand. There's lots of times, this is an allusion or a quote, an echo of Isaiah 6, that listening they may not understand. That's just kind of hard to, that's hard to understand, isn't it? But see, when a Jewish person would have heard that line, learned ones or ones that knew the scriptures, and probably they would have known this scripture by heart, because, you know, when you hear words of a song, right? Like if you hear just like one phrase out of a lyric of a song that you know the song, right? I mean, I got a friend in Louisiana. He can hear the first note of almost any song in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and he could spit it out. He just knows it. It drives me crazy. But anyway, when they would have heard, when Jesus quoted this, that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand, they would have remembered Isaiah 6, which says this. You guys okay out there? And this is the heart of it. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so they cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. Parables are open to the people to understanding, to the people whose hearts are open to understand. When you don't understand something, maybe your heart is in a place that you need to say, hey, Holy Spirit, what's up with my heart? Because I thought everything was cool. I thought everything was good. Right? I mean, we quote that psalm all the time, Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, right? I mean, what a time for David to pray that, right? After months, a year after he had first met Bathsheba and all of those circumstances transpired, and now at the end of his consequences, his child dies, and that's at the moment where he wants to create in him a new heart, which is good. He did go to God, right? I mean, that's a moment. But at the same time, you know, sometimes I think we give David way too much credit. Why didn't he pray, give me a clean heart, the night he saw Bathsheba? Right? I mean, because that's the moment to pray, give me a clean heart. I'm just warning. If you see Bathsheba taking a bath, it's time for you to pray, create in me a clean heart. Right? You guys okay out there today? But when they would have heard Jesus say they can't hear and they can't see and they can't perceive, it's because they've hardened their heart. They have put their heart in a place where God's word, the expression of God, can't be planted inside of them. Okay? So when a parable is looked at, when you read a parable, let's say you read the one about Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich guy. Right? Lazarus dies and the rich guy dies. Right? A lot of people understand that as a parable about heaven and hell, but it's not, because in that moment of time, the Jewish people didn't believe in the concept of heaven or the concept of hell the way that we do. Jesus wasn't explaining that to them. He was explaining to them that, you know what? When you see someone in need, you should be able to give them. If you have, you should be able to give. That simple. But anyway, Luke chapter 8. You guys okay out there? Good. Let's start in verse 1. Your Bible doesn't say it this way. This is a Tommy Lee translation, but we're going to go with it. Once upon a time, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, starting in verse 1, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. Amen. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. It's funny how only the women were cured of evil spirits and diseases, isn't it? I bet a man wrote this. Anyway, among them was Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. It was a good thing the women came because the women were loaded. I'm just calling it like I see it. One day, Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed, and he scattered it across the field. Some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks, and it began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. Other seed fell upon thorns that grew upon it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on fertile soil. The seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. And when he said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." Here he is, kind of quoting Isaiah 6, but in a positive way. Then his disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" And he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God, but I use parables to teach others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they look, they don't really see. And when they hear, they don't really understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word." Amen? I always like to read that. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, but then they fall away when they face temptation. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of his life, so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil, everybody say, "That's me," represent honest, good-hearted people who hear the word of God, God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Man. You know, I've heard this parable taught many times as it pertains to finances. And I mention this every time I teach this parable because it always bugged me. It really did. Because Jesus says, the parable, the seed, he doesn't say the seed is your offering that you sow into God. He doesn't say that, does he? Although when we give, God does bless us, doesn't he? Actually, God blesses us anyway. He gave you Jesus before you ever gave anything. And so, anyway, but giving is good. Amen? But when our hearts are prepared for God's word, it really changes us from the inside out. And the disciples and the ladies that were with them, their hearts were good soil because they wanted to believe who Jesus said he was. Right? They saw him working with people and his compassion and his mercy, and he's healing people and he's teaching people and he's showing them a better way. And they're caught up in it. They're like, this is good stuff. This is a good rabbi to follow. Because they were only following him to begin with because they thought of him as a rabbi. Right? I mean, it was a common thing in the Jewish culture in that time for people to follow after someone and to learn from their authority. Jesus was much more than just a rabbi. And the people came from many, many towns to hear him talk. And he gave them this message because he wanted them to understand that some of their hearts were ready to hear it and some of their hearts weren't ready to hear it. And get this, we are the ones who decide if our heart is ready or not. I always go back to my father, Carl. Carl was a gardener. More than anything else, he loved to grow things. My father, he would disc the ground, I don't know, like in January. I mean, you know, it's between snows or cold spells, and he's out there working the soil. He's making it ready for seed to be planted in it. And it was a process for him. It had to be tilled up. It had to be disked up. It had to be turned over. It had to be fertilized. All that stuff had to be happen again and again. He had to scratch it to get all the weeds and stuff out of it, so that when he grew watermelons that I loved and potatoes that turned into themselves into French fries, they were amazing. The peas and the squash, you know, not so much, you know. I remember when I was young, we were hoeing the pea patch out, and we had a field that probably went from, I don't know, from the back of the room to the trees behind us. And they were like 10 rows of peas, because my family loved peas. My family, I mean my father and my mother, because they were easy to can and jar so she could fill up, you know, we would have food in the winter, right? I mean, I'm like 8 years old. I ain't got no sense. So I'm hoeing out the grass, and all of a sudden I get the great idea that, if there weren't no peas out here, I wouldn't have to be hoeing this row. So I started leaving the grass and chopping the pea plants down. Ooh, that was not a good day. But you have to be conscious of the fact that you have to prepare your heart. When you come to church, when you read your Bible, when you listen to someone, when you listen to somebody teach on a YouTube or a CD, or you're watching someone on television, or you're the Word of God, Jesus is coming through and getting planted inside of your heart. Your knowledge of Him and your love for Him should be growing, but it doesn't happen if we don't keep our hearts ready to hear. There's a translation that speaks of Solomon that says he had a hearing heart. Which is why God decided to give him the wisdom that He gave him. And somewhere along the way, the heart changed. Because with wisdom, you don't end up with 700 wives. You just don't. It's pretty much of a given. But we should ask God, is my heart ready to hear Your Word? Am I preparing myself? In worship, when we come in here and we worship God together, are we listening to the words, or are we expressing? Are we asking God, you know, I'm not really feeling anything right now. You know, is my heart the problem? Or is it just, you know, I don't like this song? Because there's one thing about the Spirit of God. He'll tell you, yeah, it's your fault. No, it's not your fault. Right? I mean, you talk to God, right? You ask God basic questions sometimes? Because I do. Sometimes I ask Him something like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever done, isn't it? And I usually hear, not quite. But anyway, Paul bragged on the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says this, "We thank God for you constantly, that you received the word of God when you heard it from us. You've accepted it, not as the word of men, but of what it is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers." The way you set yourself up to hear matters. And notice, when Paul wrote this to the church in Thessalonica, the Bible didn't exist. Bible didn't exist in the way that we have it probably till sometime after the 5th century, the 6th century. And even then it was in Latin, so it didn't exist in English until when? About the 15th century, right? And Paul's talking about the expression of God. What the writer of Hebrews says, he says that Jesus is the exact imprint, the exact expression of who the Father is. And see, when we prepare our hearts, when we get ready to hear the Word of God, when we say, God, make my heart listen, which He won't. He won't make your heart listen. But it's good to voice that, because that means that you're willing for your heart to be put in a state where it can hear. Because you may hear with your ears, but every husband knows we don't listen with our ears. My father, Carl, oh my God. My mother was a talkaholic. And sometimes I'd go in there and I would just watch the two of them. And she's standing there, she's like 4'11", and she's just saying so many words together. I don't know. My mother, all of my communicating faults I got from her. Because she could, in the middle of a sentence, she would go to another subject. And then she'd go to another subject. And she'd never come back to any of those other subjects. She would just keep moving, right? She wrote the same way. And she wrote in columns. It would just drive me crazy. I thought, you could put grid lines around these things because all the words are like lined up and stuff. But she would go in there and talk to my father, and she'd talk, and I'm sure she was saying things that needed to be said. But he would just sit there and just a blankest stare on his face. And I'd go, after she left, I asked him one time, what was Mama talking about? He said, I have no idea. Because we can be in the room, and we can hear what's said, what's expressed, but we don't listen to it. It falls on a hard surface. We don't want to be a hard surface, do we? So, we need to receive it for what it is. We need to see it as the expression of God. We need to take it for, we need to take it not for granted, but it needs to be a solid foundation in us that we're looking to hear. Jesus said we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Proceeds is a constant flow. The Spirit of God is always talking to you. You guys all right? The Spirit of God is always talking to you, always speaking to you. Psalms 119 says this, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and light my path. Man. You know, I used to explain to teenagers, and it's a good illustration, because there was always one in every group that said, you know, I got the Bible, I can always look it up. Especially now, I can Google it, right? Any of y'all were born after August 1998? Anybody? Just raise your hand. It's okay. Everybody born after August 1998 is younger than Google. All the rest of us, we're older than Google. And we feel like Google's been around since Adam was, don't we? Anyway, tells you something. So I would tell these teenagers, I'd say, because you always had one in every group that said, I can just go look it up, Pastor Tommy. Brother Tommy, that's what they used to call me. I can just go look it up. I don't need to know God's Word. I can just do a search for it. And I said, well, that's good. But what if the firefighters come to your house and they got the same attitude? They don't have to train. They can wait till they get there to figure out. They can get the manual out for that truck, how to hook up the water, how to pump it, how to do all that stuff, how to prepare for it, how to get ready. Your house is burning down, and they're reading a book. So in your life, it's good for you to put God's Word in you when you don't need it, so it'll be there when you do. It's good to have a constant flow of information coming into you. You know what stops the flow? When you tell God no. I didn't even mean for that to rhyme. But when you say, I love you, but I don't know if I love you that much. Right? Because he's good at asking us for stuff that doesn't make our flesh feel like that's exactly what I want to do. That's it. I woke up today. That's what I want to do. I want to go tell that person, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Right? Boy, wouldn't that be fun if you could apologize like that? That'd be so much fun. But you can't. Can you? You ever had to apologize and you're not even in the wrong? God asks you, you go. You do this. This is what I want you to do. You preach on this, Tommy, and I go, I don't even like that story. Can't we get one of my favorites? One day we're going to have to get into the book of Leviticus. Oh, well. Or Lamentations. Oh, my gosh. Ecclesiastes. The Song of Solomon. I bet you've never heard a message on the Song of Solomon, have you? I have, but I'm not doing one today. So anyway, you don't want your heart to be rocky, right? Jeremiah said this, the word of God came to me in Jeremiah 1:11. He said, what do you see, Jeremiah? God's asking him a question. He said, I see a branch of an almond tree. And then the Lord said to him, you've seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. You want God to perform in your life? Start with a hearing heart, with a heart that's soft to his voice and says yes quickly. Among thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, some says, it's a code for selfish desires. When it falls in the thorns, it sprouts up, but the thorns are growing right beside it. I think the thorns should have been removed before the seed was planted. I used to ride on it. My dad had he called it a scratcher. I don't know the technical term for it, but it was a plow that was wide and it had a bunch of spikes pointed down at an angle, and it would scratch up grass or weeds or blackberry bushes, and I'd always try and get them to go around the blackberry bushes because that was a plant that was already there and we could eat those anyway instead of peas. But anyway, I would ride on the back of it like my six-year-old self was adding weight to this thing, right? I mean, I weighed 65 pounds when I was in sixth grade, you know. I weighed 161 pounds when I got married. I was 21. Even then, I could turn sideways, stick my tongue out. I'd look like a zipper, you know. It's just crazy. I had a friend used to say, Tommy, you have to stand in one place twice just to make one shadow. And it's about right, you know. But he would. So mom probably asked him to get me out of the house, and that's what dad did. You ride on the back of the plow. Probably not a safe place for a six-year-old to ride, but I never got hurt. And I always thought I was doing something. But there's. You know, we ought to ask ourselves that. God, is my heart hard like the path? Have I got thorn seeds planted right there where I want the word of God to come up? Do I have thorn seeds planted? Have I planted thorn seeds? I mean, I can't even go to him and say, God, can you get all the thorn seeds out of my heart that Karen's planted in there? You know, I can't blame her. I mean, even Adam tried, right? First he blamed God, right? It's this woman that you gave me, right? Remember that? But the heart, that sucker remembers things. Past hurts. Things that didn't work out the way we wanted them to work out. Things that really hurt us, right? God isn't afraid of our hurts. He isn't afraid of us, not putting things in perspective. He's not afraid of the process that it takes for you to be injured and for you to come to a healing, to put your heart into a place where He can plant new seed in it. But we do play a large part of that when we say, God, we're just honest with Him. I'm angry about this that happened in my life. I don't understand how this could happen in my life. I thought everything was going to work out the way that it's supposed to. Everything was supposed to be good. Everything was supposed to be blessed, right? I'm supposed to be blessed and highly favored, right? Even Jesus was blessed and highly favored, but they crucified Him. His friends all turned their back on Him. But He didn't have thorns growing up. Being honest with God is always the first step. When you came to Jesus the first time, you were honest with Him. So every day when we come to Him, we want God to plant that seed into our heart. We've got to be honest with Him. I know that's basic, but so many people are not. So many people think they can bait and switch God. Right? If I do this, I'm going to go ahead and do all this stuff that I know I shouldn't do, but I'm just going to worship longer this week, God. I'm just going to worship longer. Right? I'm just going to give more or whatever. You know, I had she's a real good friend of mine. I taught when she was college age, I taught the Sunday school class, and this girl was always late. I mean, always late. Always late. I mean, I'm talking about sometimes she'd get to Sunday school the second we would dismiss. I'm late. So one Sunday I walk into the room and the light's on. And I'm there early, and she's sitting there waiting. I'm ready, Brother Tommy, I'm ready. I'm ready for some word today. I'm ready. And in my mind, I thought, I wonder what she's been up to. Sure enough, she had been up to. We always try to make up the difference. And I worked for Walmart once, and we had these two guys that did polish the floors overnight. And I was the first member of management to get there that morning, and I was letting them out to take out the trash because they really wanted to take the trash out. And I thought, this is so unlike these two guys. So after they took the trash out and the store opened and stuff, I went around to the dumpster. And in the trash, there were TVs and VCRs, and car radios. Yeah, they were eager. I mean, they were eager. So I staked it out, waiting for them to come back, and I'm out there watching through a peephole in the back, and all of a sudden, the trash man comes on the wrong day. Oh, my God. I'd lost my mind. I went out there and stopped them, had to get into the trash truck and dig all my VCRs and TVs out, and well, I was so angry. But I thought, these guys are way eager. Sometimes we treat God like that. We think we can pull the wool over God's eyes. We think, we can bargain with God. And who hasn't tried to bargain with God, right? You guys could always just point at me because I'm guilty of that. But we need to let God guard our hearts. Just like Paul said in Philippians, don't worry about things, but go to God with them. Not to make a deal. You're not President Trump. You just need to go to Him and go to Him and give Him the problem and let Him guard your heart with a peace that passes understanding. Which means in the moment, understanding doesn't come. Sometimes we go to God and we give Him our problems. And we pray over our problems and our worries. And we we feel that peace, but we don't walk away with a plan on how everything's going to get fixed, right? You know, you don't need to know the plan. When Keegan was little, I'd always tell him this stuff. It's from one of the Star Wars movies that one of the Jedi said, "Don't worry, a solution will present itself." And God tells me that all the time. Not to worry, a solution will present itself. He has a solution. He's just looking for trust from you and me. So we're going to be good soil, right? We hear the word, we understand it, and I'm closing, so this will be good since it's 10 minutes till noon. Good Lord, did I preach that long? Did we sing that long? Anyway, Psalms 86 says this, "I give thanks to you, my Lord, with my whole heart." Well, that's good, isn't it? "Make me know your ways. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you're God. You're the one I wait on all day long." That's Psalms 25. Man, that will prepare your heart. I want to give you my whole heart, God. In closing, Psalm from David. "Create in me a clean heart." Because sometimes you just need to start over. Right? You just need to say, "Hey, sometimes I feel like I've gone around the board, God, and now I'm in jail." Not literally, but I'm back on the board of life, and I've made wrong turns, and things aren't working out the way that I thought they would, and I need a heart change. I need you to touch my heart again. I need you to bring your wisdom into me. I need that peace that's greater than all the things that I can understand. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we do thank you for the written word and the living word in Jesus. And Father, I pray over all of these hearts and these minds that you keep us prepared for good seed to be planted in us and for us to be the people that you have destined us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, guys.